And we're traveling with our Lord on the way to the cross. And he has been up in the northern part of the land, in Galilee. And he said to the disciples, I must go to Jerusalem, and there I will die, and in 3 days I will rise again. So they start their journey down along the Jordan River, past Jericho. He comes into Jerusalem, and the people are honoring him, and they have the palm branches, and they're saying, Hallelujah. And one of the first things our Lord does is walk into the temple. And the leaders there have made the temple a commercial enterprise instead of the house of worship that it should be. So they have money changers there. If people don't have an offering, they come, or an animal, they come and buy it, and the priests make money off the people. And so Jesus walked up to their table and threw it over. You remember reading that? The mild-mannered Lord that so many speak of went in there and with anger overthrew that table. Then there are several events during the week, during that last week of his life. And we began in John 13 as he observed the Passover feast with the disciples in an upper room, and he taught them there about Christian service, that the way you live the Christian life is to serve each other. And as he washed their feet, he said, you do this for each other. Now, we don't do that necessarily literally, although if you want to, it's okay. But we serve each other with deeds of love and kindness. In John 14, which we studied last week, he taught us about Christian comfort, how the Lord comforts his disciples. They were disturbed because he told them he was going to die and he was going to leave them. And they were in sorrow. And he taught them about heaven, about the way to heaven, about the gift of the Holy Spirit, and about the gift of peace. He said, my peace I give unto you. So today we travel on to John 15, where he's going to teach them and us about Christian strength. Now, Chris mentioned that living today as a family in this world is a battle, and he's right. And a Christian is in a spiritual battle. And do we have strength for that battle, or did the Lord leave us alone? He's going to teach us about Christian strength. Let's read John chapter 15, verse 1 through 9. Would you follow in your Bible? I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch, dries up, they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Now, the thing that we want to catch as the overall purpose of this passage is as Mike prayed and as Skip testified, that the Lord is the sovereign Lord. And what we learn here is that he is the sovereign Lord of his vineyard. And the symbolism is the vine and the branches, but he's talking about himself and us. He is the Lord of our life. And we learn that this morning from this passage. Let's look, first of all, and you have an outline on the back of the bulletin, at some general observations, a general overview of the passage, and consider the vine, the branches, the vine dresser, the fruit, and the abiding, and then we'll look at some more specific considerations. Now, it's interesting that in the last verse of John 14, in the last phrase, they're in the upper room, Jesus said, "Arise, let us go from here." And the 15th chapter begins with his discourse on the vine and the vine and the branches. It's interesting to study the commentaries and the Bible scholars as an attempt is made to find out the occasion. It just seems such a sharp contrast to what he has been teaching and what brought his attention to a vineyard, a vine dresser, the vine and the branches. Well, some say that they had left the upper room and they're out walking toward the Garden of Gethsemane, and on in the front of the temple is a picture of a vine as a symbol of the nation Israel. Others say as they walked out of the upper room, he could see the fields out there where some pruning had been done, and they had gathered the branches and there were small fires. And so this gave him his occasion to teach this passage. But it's a matter of dispute. Not everybody agrees, and we don't know for sure. But at least this is what he said, and this is what he taught. He said, "I am the true vine." Now, why didn't he just say, "I'm the vine"? Because he wants to teach a very, very important truth that we must catch. Or some translations would say, "I am the vine, the true." He is the true vine. Now, ordinarily in our thought pattern, if we think of something as not being true, it would be false. You would have true false. But that's not true in this passage. The true means that he is the fulfillment of the symbolism. Now, there is a biblical study called typology. And if you have opportunity in a Christian bookstore, pick up a book called Typology. And you will see throughout the Old Testament that there are types of Christ. I think in most of the books, the author will pick up that in the life of Joseph, remember Joseph, sold into Egypt? There are at least 40 similarities between the life of Joseph and the life of Christ. In the sacrifice of the animal, the lamb that was brought is clearly portrayed as a shadow or a type of the real, true sacrifice, Christ, which must come. So what Jesus is saying, "I'm not a shadow, I am the real. I am not a type, I am the real. I am the true. I am the genuine vine. You don't look for another. I am the true vine." No more shadows. He is the absolute, complete fulfillment. And anyone who tries to make a sacrifice today is in blasphemy toward the Word of God. We dare not do that. To add to the cross is blasphemy. He is the fulfillment of it. Now, the next statement, which we need to clarify, is that he says, my Father is the vine dresser. Or I think the old King James Version used to say, my Father is the husbandman, which means the same thing. My Father. Who is my Father? He is referring to the Lord God Almighty, the Heavenly Father. Now, throughout the Old Testament, people did not refer to God as Father. They knew him as a judge, and there were several different names, but never Father. Jesus introduces him as Father, and he says, my Father. And so we learn our Father. God is our Father. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the Lord of the vineyard. Now, this word translated in the New American Standard as vine dresser is translated in different ways, but some believe it actually means the Lord of the farm or the Lord of the vineyard. Now, calling him a vine dresser would normally think of that as a servant who goes out and takes care of the vineyard. So he is the sovereign servant who is in charge of the vineyard, but he also takes care of the vineyard, and he does many things with it. Now we learn what he does in verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. All right, that is his sovereign activity in the church and in the vine. As the Lord of the vineyard, he takes away some branches. Now, there is great controversy about what this means. Some say that this means the translation should be, the branches that do not bear fruit, he lifts them up, and the vine dresser takes them off the ground so they can get air and sunshine and really bear fruit. And a great deal of many scholars that I respect believe that. Others say, no, it refers to the branches that don't bear fruit, and they are taken off of the vine, out of the way. And as far as we are concerned, in the church, it refers to people who are not really Christians. They are only professors. And it will come to pass in time, it will be shown that they are not real. They bear no fruit. Now, there are many scholars that I respect that believe this interpretation, and that's the one which I believe for myself, that this is what this passage is teaching. They are professors, not possessors, and they look like they're Christians. And the trouble is, the wording here says, every branch in me. Well, that would be very strong to make you think of the first interpretation. But I think as I read the entire scripture and see that Jesus also said to some people one time, they said to him, Lord, we have cast out demons, and we have done many miracles. We have had people healed, and we've had great meetings, and we've preached great sermons, and we have done great things in your name. And you know what he said to them? He said, depart from me, I never knew you. That's an awful thing. That's a thing that we ought to take to heart, and to see that it is real with us, and we are really, truly in Christ. So some branches he takes away. They do not bear fruit. In verses 8 and 9, we learn that they are burned, which speaks of judgment. Now, the branches that bear fruit. Verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it. Interesting, isn't it? The branch is bearing fruit. You would think it has no problems, needs no care. What do you have to do to it? You have to prune it, which means a cleansing and purifying, a purging of the true believer. He or she is producing fruit, but needs pruning. And that's just a matter of agricultural wisdom. Pruning is real to me because I grew up in a place of a lot of agriculture. All kinds of groves, orange groves, walnut groves, pear orchards, peach orchards, plums, cornfields, watermelons, all that. So pruning was a real part of summer life. You just had to work at pruning. And I remember that in grammar school. At the beginning of school, we got 2 weeks off in order to pick walnuts, because you just couldn't lose that time in the harvest. They had to be picked. So pruning is a reality, and it needs to be done. And what is the purpose? That it may bear more fruit. As a Christian, in Christ, we bear some fruit. And it is the Father's purpose that we bear more fruit. So he purges us, he cleanses us, he purifies us, he prunes us. And sometimes that can be trouble. Sometimes that can be difficulty. Sometimes that can be trial to wake us up and to say, I need the Lord, and to cause us to trust him. But they will bear more fruit, which refers to the stages of growth in our Christian life. We don't all bear exactly the same fruit in the same quantity or the same quality. We are at differing stages of our Christian life. Therefore, we must be very patient with each other and very kind with each other and very helpful to each other and not be judgmental that we think we're bearing much fruit and the other person is not. We need to really be careful there. We are simply at different stages of growth. But what we learn here is that God is sovereign over his vineyard. And he knows the branches. And he knows what to do with each branch. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. And Jesus refers to the cleansing of matter. How is that done? The instrument of cleansing is the Word of God. You are clean because of the Word I've spoken to you. If you are a branch in Christ and you are concerned about bearing fruit for the Lord, and you are concerned about your growth as Christian, you give attention to the Word of God. And it is the Word of truth in the Scripture that comes flowing into our life and flushes out that which is unworthy and causes us to grow. Now, here is another aspect of this passage we need to understand. He talks about abiding. If you abide in me, I abide in you. That's the Christian life. That's what it looks like. Now, what do we normally think of with the word abide? If you're going to abide somewhere, it normally means to stay. Now, Jesus said to them, I must abide at your house. Well, I'm going to stay for a while. To remain, to continue. If you abide in Christ, it means you're with him. You remain with him. You stay with him. You continue with him. So we're abiding in Christ, and he abides with us, and that's the nature of it. The Lord Jesus Christ lives in us. That's the Christian life. We live in him. And our position before God is that Christ is in us, and that never changes. Our abiding in Him is our experience and can be at different levels of joy and blessing. So there is a union and a communion that we have with the Lord that is a picture of the Christian life. He abides in us. We abide in Him. There's dialogue. There's communion. It's reality and it's life. Now then, He abides in us, we abide in Him. What is our focus? What really grabs our attention this morning as we think of being a Christian, a branch in the vine, Christ abiding in us, our abiding in Him? How do you live the Christian life? Do you try harder? Do you strive harder? Do you work at it? You focus on the vine. The branch is attached to the vine. And the way the vine lives and the way the vine produces fruit is to be attached to the vine. If you and I are going to live as a Christian in this world, we focus on Christ and who He is and what He does for us. And apart from Him, it's zip. Zero, nothing, and that's death. Apart from Him, it's death. That's the necessity of the abiding. And you read in John 15:5, apart from Me, you can do just a little bit, like some people like to read. Or you can do some things. No, the biblical directive is that you can do nothing. You bear no fruit. You have nothing of the spiritual or eternal value that can come out of your life. So here are some of the general thoughts about this passage. There is the vine, the true vine. There is the vine dresser, the sovereign Lord. And there is the abiding, and there is fruit. Now let's look at just a little more specifically. First of all, about the abiding branch. If to abide means to stay, and we're talking about a time element in our abiding, and how are we to think of that? What is being taught us here is that the time that we abide in Christ is not for a few days. It is throughout our life. That's the message. We abide in Him throughout our lifetime. That's the time. What is the nature of our abiding? I mentioned a little bit of this a moment ago. What does that branch do? Does that branch wake up every morning and say, I've got to really try hard to produce some apples this morning? No, the branch life is a restful life. The branch life is a passive life. The branch life is a dependent life. To get the life flowing juices out of the vine that makes the branch live. The branch life is a life of surrender to the vine. The branch life is a life of being available for the vine to produce fruit through us. The branch life is a receiving life. Receives everything from the vine. And as you, if you think of a vineyard and you just look at that, you say, there is a great vine. And that includes everything. The root, the vine itself, the branches, the twigs, the leaves, the fruit. That's the vine. The vine is everything. And we need to see that the Lord Jesus Christ is everything in our life. That's the nature of the abiding branch. Now, what is the quality of that abiding life? It says He bears fruit. There is an intimacy of the vine and the branch that cannot be matched in other ways. And there is a spiritual intimacy between Christ and the believer. We're not just putting in time. It's quality time, a word we use a lot. It's a warmth of fellowship. It's a richness. It's a closeness where we rely on Him and He is honored, so that our life is involved in focusing on Christ and He produces through us much fruit. The person who does not abide does not bear fruit. And they are unsaved, they are counterfeit, they are professors. And through the years I've been a Christian and in leadership, I have seen countless numbers of such people. And what a tragedy. They can hang around church, they can go to Bible studies, they can come and give a big testimony in your church, they can want to be in leadership, they can serve on the committees. But after a period of time, they're no longer around, gone back to the world. They never were real. They never were in Christ, and they're cast out into judgment. The Lord says He's the true vine, and the branches that bear fruit will have the fruit that glorifies the Father. Now, some people consider the fruit to be other branches. But branches don't really produce branches. The vine produces the branches. We don't produce other branches. We don't produce other Christians. The Lord produces other Christians. But what does He produce in us? What is the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is listed in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and faith and peace and gentleness and goodness and kindness and godly self-control and patience. And you go on and on with the qualities of the Christian life of faithfulness and courage and dependability. To be a steady, consistent Christian is the fruit that glorifies God. To be dependable, to keep our word, to be sincere about our Christian faith, to desire to be a fruit-bearing Christian. That's our life characteristic. So we have the true vine, the vine dresser, the sovereign Lord over the branches. Some are cast out into judgment, and some He prunes to bear more fruit, and we abide in Him. Now, what is our response to such a passage? Well, let me suggest, first of all, do not try to be the vine. We are not the vine. The Lord God is the vine. Let Him be the vine. Look to Him as being Lord of your life, not yourself. No longer make your own decisions. No longer plan your own life. No longer be selfish with your life. Your life is to be given to Him. So do not try to be the vine. Live with expectation that the Lord will produce the fruit in you. I suppose the biggest thing we could say is to learn to be a receiver. The branch is a receiver. It receives from the vine. As a Christian, be a receiver. And draw from the Lord daily, constantly, the life-giving strength that He supplies for us. And let me suggest three ways to do that. First of all, be receptive to spiritual truth, the Word of God. Give attention to the Bible. Be exposed to Bible truth constantly and continually. And you think of the vineyard and how the Lord of the vineyard grows the grapefruit. He uses means to do that. In other words, there has to be sun. There has to be water. There has to be the care of that vineyard. And God, in His grace, has given us the means to live the Christian life through the Word of God, through prayer, through fellowship, through worship. It's all just very practical and very reasonable You leave these things out of your life, you're not going to be a fruit-bearing Christian, and you're not going to bear fruit that pleases the Father. So we have to be receptive to spiritual truth constantly and continually. And then also, secondly, we must be receptive to the pruning. Now that is not always joyful, but the heavenly vine dresser, the heavenly caretaker of the vineyard, does that to us. That's the pruning and the cleansing, and it isn't always pleasant at the moment. But don't fight against God's providence and what He's doing in your life. Trust Him with that. And it's natural for us, the Lord, to say, well, you know, from my viewpoint, the pruning is plenty. I mean, thank you, but I've had enough. And we ask Him to remove the pruning. That's all right. But trust Him to do that in His way and His time, because it's for a good purpose, that we might bear more fruit. Now, God's love and God's purpose for us is only good. Never evil, never bad, only for good. But for that good to come, we need training. We need to be educated as Christians. So we need to receive the Word of God, we need to receive the pruning, and we must be receptive to His love. Let Him love us the way He wants to love us, and don't try to dictate to Him how to run our lives. Trust Him with it. Now, we concentrate on His love for us, not ours for Him. And too many Christians today are being taught that the whole Christian life revolves around self. What I do. My love for Him. Well, my love for Him is not going to be too steady or consistent. It's His love for me that is my strength. That's how He strengthens us, that we receive His love. Finally, be receptive to His adequacy, His sufficiency. Can the Lord of the vineyard really take care of me as a branch? Can the Lord God Almighty, the Heavenly Father, really supply my needs and really take care of me? And really give me the power and the strength and the grace that I need to live as a Christian life. Well, we need to know that everything comes from the vine and nothing coming from us. And that the quality of our Christian life depends upon His abiding in us and our abiding in Him. Will you do it today? Will you give attention to be a Christian who abides in Christ and use the means that He's given us so that we bear fruit, that our Heavenly Father is glorified, and that our life is useful and meaningful and spiritually significant? Let's do that today and trust in His power. There was a man who went to buy a car. And he didn't realize it had a motor in it. So he pushes the car home. And when he gets home, he's excited to tell his wife and family about the car. So he wants to give them a ride, so he gets the wife behind the wheel and the children in the back seat, and he pushes them around the neighborhood in that car. He's exhausted doing it, but that's the way he's doing it. Well, a man comes along and says, well, how do you like your car? He says, it's a wonderful car. He says, I love the color and the upholstery is new and fresh. And you should hear the horn. It's got a wonderful horn. But he said, you know, I'm worn out pushing this thing around. I can't do it anymore. And the man said to him, you need to come to our church, because we're going to have a special speaker this whole week, and he's going to teach us how to push a car successfully. And on Monday night, he's going to teach us how to push with the right shoulder. And on Tuesday night, he's going to teach us how to push with the left shoulder. On Wednesday night, he's going to teach us how to get our back into it and really push successfully. And on Thursday night, he's going to show slides and have programs to teach us how to do it successfully. And on Friday night, we're going to have a big dedication service, and we're all going to come forward and pray, and we'll know how to push a car successfully. Now, if you really wanted to help that man, you'd go and say, lift up the hood and look under the hood, and you'll see the power plant. You'll see the engine. And you get in it and turn on the key, and that car will take you uphill, downhill, through the canyon, and all around. Do you know that some Christians are trying to live pushing their own car without realizing there's a power plant within, Christ abiding within us? So let's get in that life and use the key of His power and the power in the vine to produce the life that we need. Let's bow the prayer. Heavenly Father, which is so grateful for the way you have arranged life and for the way you have taught us the simple things like sheep and shepherd, and fig trees and the grapes and the vineyards. I thank you for these great lessons, and we're thankful for John 15:5. Through that passage, which teaches us about abiding and about bearing fruit and about being pruned. And so, Lord, this morning we come and just to say that we're available to you, for you to live through us as the branch and the vine, and to have a life that will glorify you and honor you. Teach us more and more day by day of what it means to abide in Christ. And use our lives for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.